From theunts.com, this is The Unts Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunts.com. Hello and welcome to The Unts Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. My guests today are Gustavo Rosenthal and Philippe Lezinski of the Brazilian electro house duo Felguk. These two young DJs are no strangers to the pop scene, having spent the past half a decade producing remixes for artists like Madonna, David Guetta, and the Black Eyed Peas, as well as hitting some of the biggest festivals in the world like Nocturnal and Electric Daisy Carnival. The duo is currently on tour in the States, hitting Avalon in Hollywood tonight to celebrate the release of their latest remix of Dirty South and Thomas Gold's Eyes Wide Open, which you can grab right now on Beatport. This episode is sponsored by Buku Music and Art Project, taking place March 17th and 18th in New Orleans, with headliners Avicii, Skrillex, Wolfgang Gartner, Subtract, Mord Fustaine, Holy Fuck, Grammatic, Porter Robinson, and literally too many to mention. Tickets available now at thebukuproject.com. As we begin, congratulations are in order. You finally cracked the DJ Top 100 list. I'm sure that was a huge honor for both of you.
It was. This was something that gives a lot of status for DJs and producers. And for some years, we have been checking there. Every year, we saw the other DJs making campaigns and stuff, and we never did any campaign for that because we thought it wasn't the right time. And then last year, we started to ask people vote for us on our Facebook page because we thought it was a good momentum, and it happened. We got there and we were really happy. Then we celebrated that.
Gustavo, is it just a status thing, or have you really noticed a change in your career and where you're at being on that list?
Well, there is some change. There are places that consider more this list. There are other places that don't take this list so serious. But for sure, it made a difference. And some people are really impressed by that. So, oh, you're in the top DJ. Some people that don't know, never heard about you, let's say a promoter, he doesn't know about you, but if you say that you're on that list and he checks out that you're on that list, it's like you have a stamp, a quality stamp, you know. So
sure.
trusts you better, and you know, so it makes a difference for sure.
Absolutely. So let's start from the beginning. Philippe, tell me, you've credited much of the good material out there in electronic dance music to real musicians. What makes you guys real musicians?
To be honest, we are not like real musicians. We know how to play. I know how to play the piano, and Gustavo knows how to play the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
But we always like listen to good music, and we know some like music theories.
Right.
So that's
right.
We always try to use in our music, to put the musical stuff in there.
So when you sit down to produce, you're actually thinking about key changes and progressive harmonies and things like that.
Right.
Yeah, there are tracks that are more musical, there are tracks that are less musical and more rhythmic and stuff, you know. For example, I think the more tech house your track is, in a general note, it will be less musical. Of course, that's not a rule. There are lots of exceptions, but you know, the more you care about the groove and the rhythm part, the less you care about the harmonies and stuff. For example, with music with vocals, the more pop is your structure of music, the more vocals you have, the more, you know, the more it sounds like it could be played on the regular radio, the more it's musical, you know.
It's less generic, right?
Yeah.
We'll be right back. This is Do You Like Bass from Felgo. Nudge, the single from Felgo and Dirty Lap.
Gustavo, you have a background in guitar. What were some of the big influences as you're growing up, as you're a child and figuring out what you like musically? What convinced you to pick up the guitar?
Well, when I was a teenager, I was into rock and roll. I mean, first I was into heavy metal when I was like a young teenager.
Sure, Sepultura, Max Cavalera's outfits.
Yeah, and Metallica and stuff, you know.
Sure.
And then I discovered the hard rock and rock and roll world from the 70s and the hippies, you know, like the Doors and Led Zeppelin and Jimi Hendrix, and I fell in love with that. And that's when I started to have guitar lessons. My guitar hero was Jimmy Page from Led Zeppelin.
Okay.
So I started to learn his music, his solos, and my teacher was like, was learning his solos by ear and then teaching me. So that's where all started. And then I went into dance music, pretty hardcore. And now I kind of float around between everything. I really like rock and dance music. I'd say I listen more to rock music than to dance music on my regular day.
How did you make that transition? What was that introduction? Was it going out to clubs and hearing dance music, or did you get into electronic music maybe from maybe a more theoretical understanding of it?
No. It started with electronic music by itself. The first bands that really got me into dance music was Prodigy and the Chemical Brothers. Because before that, I really thought that when people were doing rock music, that it was what I liked. And they put like a keyboard or a synthesizer or some kind of electronic thing in there. I thought it was cheesy and then didn't like it. I had a little prejudice against... Mm-hmm. Dance music and electronic music, and I guess electronic music. And then after the Prodigy and the Chemical Brothers, I thought, whoa, this can be really cool. And then after that, I started clubbing in techno music here in clubs in Rio, and you know, like getting wasted, listening to that loud music that made your body dance. And then I finally understood this concept of music to make you dance. You know, it's a music that it's designed for this purpose. You know, it's not like the techno music that I heard in clubs. I couldn't listen in my Walkman or Discman at the time. It wasn't an MP3 player. It was a Discman. I couldn't listen for those tracks on my regular day. I could only listen on that situation, like a club, really, really drunk. And dancing, you know, it was music designed for dancing. And then I understood this concept, dance music, you know. And from then on, I started following some raves and some dance music events here in Brazil. And then I fell in love with it.
I want to get back to that sort of divide between heavy metal, hard rock, and then dance music. I want to come back to that, but first, Philippe, I wonder how did you begin producing with Gustavo? Have you known each other since you were little, or did you find each other through the worlds of production?
So Gustavo used to work in an audio company.
It was a company that made like the sounds of some for some advertisements on radio and TV.
Then I went there to be his trainee. Then he said, oh, I make electronic music, let's try to do something. So, okay, we started to do a track, it worked, and then we're doing music. It's not that complex.
How, I wonder, have you had this amazing career path? Just in a couple of years, your music has taken off. Is there anything that you can point to and say, you know, this is the reason why we've gotten just unbelievably popular?
I don't know, man, it just happened. It's like,
I'd say
a lot of work.
No, I'd say, for example, a lot of guys that are exploding right now, they heard us some time ago. We're not that fresh on the scene. We're on the scene for the project exists for 5 years, and we have been putting out music for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those guys from that are really, really, really hyped today, they used to listen to us because some years ago we were kind of the first doing stuff that nowadays is really popular. Like we started adding a lot of melodies to electro house, you know. Mm-hmm. And some kind of bass line, like this really, really sawtooth bass line that we used in the past. And I don't know. I think those are the main reasons. I think we were one of the first to make a kind of sound that it has been popular for some years now, and we were one of the first to do that, you know?
Sure, sure. Gustavo, then walk me through the Madonna remix for Celebration. How were you approached to do that? Was it because you were known on the scene and known for your technical production? And then, you know, after that, what is it like to have to turn in a remix when you know you're going up against a Paul Oakenfold, for example?
Well, remixing for big artists, it's not something new or fantastic for DJs and producers. I mean, it happens a lot with a lot of people. But with the Madonna thing, it was a little bit special because she was personally involved in the project. I mean, she first of all, we sent her some versions that she didn't like. The label liked and she didn't like. So she sent back to us explaining what she wanted, and sometimes you don't get a second chance, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But she was interested in that, and it came to the point that she actually called us to explain what she wanted, and you know, and kind of brief us of what to do.
Hi Gustavo, it's me, Madonna.
Yeah, yeah. So it was really weird. So it shows that Madonna is known for being an artist that is really focused on dance music. She's really tuned in dance music. And there are a lot of artists that, I mean, they produce the pop singles, and the label takes care of making the remixes, and they approve the remixes, and the artist doesn't even care.
Sure.
No, and that's not what happens with some artists. Like, Madonna is not like that. She likes DJs. She likes dance music. She likes this world of electronic music. So that's why she got so close to the project. Will.i.am, I believe, is a guy like this, you know, that it's the people that live in this crossover between dance music and pop music, and Madonna was one of the pioneers to do that. So
sure, sure.
So that's why I think she was really professional about that, and for us it was great because we managed, like, we felt like Madonna was our client, and we had to deliver something really good for her. And she's known to be really strict and really, you know, just approve what she really, really likes. And, you know, and like, for us to have her really like our remix is like another stamp of quality. Say, oh man, and like, if we can please Madonna, and we're doing good, you know.
Felguk's Love remix of Madonna's Celebration. This is an early Felguk track, Palm Tree, from back in 2007. Thank you. Plastic Smile from Felguk an example, right here on the UNS Podcast.
All I'm after is belief. Who you're showing me is deep. You've been staring at me for a long while. All I'm after is belief. Who you're showing me is deep. All I'm seeing is your plastic smile. All I'm after is belief. Who you're showing me is deep. You've been staring at me for a long while. All I'm after is belief. Who you're showing me is deep. All I'm seeing is your plastic smile. 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 All I'm after is belief. All you're showing me is deep. All I'm seeing is your plastic smile.
Plastic Smile single with Example had such a hard edge to it, and we were talking about moving from heavy metal and hard rock into dance music. Do you feel like as a duo you're now gravitating back towards that heavier music, maybe away from pop and into that more gritty territory?
There is this movement going on. Our latest tracks that are still unreleased, they kind of sound like heavy metal, to be honest. And this is because of the big dubstep influence in the scene, you know?
Sure, yeah.
But we don't feel that we are going away from pop or away from electro. We're just expanding the possibilities. So our next track, we want to do a really, really housey, clubby track. We kind of missed that. But we are happy that after we do some tracks like really club music, we can do something like more dubstep and more rocky and, you know, more with this heavy metal influence. So it's just something that it's another possibility that goes on. And but we really liked it. I mean, before dubstep, the dubstep scene exploded. We didn't feel that we could do this kind of music. And after this scene exploded, we now are doing it too, you know, and mixing. And there is an interesting crossover of dubstep and electro. For example, Knife Party have been doing some interesting things, mm-hmm. which I consider a crossover between dubstep and electro.
Sure.
And it's really, really cool. So it's more creative possibilities for us. So I'm really happy.
Yeah, yeah. Felipe, I wonder, how do Brazilian crowds differ from American ones? Is it any different playing abroad versus playing within Brazil? Do you have to adapt your sets at all? I know, you know, fans in the U.S. are craving bass at this point, craving that really heavy sound, but I imagine that's probably the same everywhere, right?
No, in Brazil we have some places that people rock a lot, like in L.A. in U.S. And depends. Every time we go to play, we like look in our tracks and say, okay, this place we have to play like chill tracks. This place we have to be rocky. So depends on the place.
Okay, okay. Gustavo, tell me, what kind of touring in the States do you have planned so our fans can find you somewhere soon there on the road?
Avalon, LA, March the 2nd, and then San Francisco, March the 3rd. And then after that, we're flying back to Brazil for some gigs here. And then we're going back to US in the end of the month, in the end of March. So we're playing Dallas in the 20, New Orleans 21st, Miami 22nd. And there's a big possibility that we will play New York and the 31st.
That's fantastic. Do you think a lot of that has to do with your new single Nudge with Dirty Loud? I wonder, you've been working with each other for so long now, you know each other so well. I wonder what it's like to bring somebody else into the creative mix. I wonder what the process was like with Dirty Loud.
Well, it's really, really interesting to work with someone in a collaboration. There are some kinds of collaboration. For example, and you can make a collaboration offline, which I say it's offline. Like you do a little bit here, and then you send the audio for the other guy by the through the internet, and then he finishes the track or something like this. And it's interesting, but it's not as interesting as having someone in the studio with you. That's how you trade more, you know, influences and knowledges and little tricks and, you know, and ideas. And that's what we did with Dirty Loud. The guys came here to our studio in Rio, and they spent 3 days in Rio. So we spent 3 days producing this track, and it was really interesting. We learned a lot. We learned like a different way to operate the software, you know, and we learned a lot. For sure. So it's really interesting to do this kind of collaborations.
You've been hinting on your Facebook that you've been working on a major remix with a big star who put out a big hit and whose name starts with D. Can you give me any clues?
Okay, so we just remixed Dirty South.
Ah.
Thomas Gold. It's called Eyes Wide Open.
And absolutely.
And in my opinion, the track is this crossover of electro and dubstep, or it's an electro really influenced by dubstep, maybe, you know. I'll leave it to you and for the public to judge it.
perfect. Philippe Luzinski, Gustavo Rosenthal, thanks so much for being on the Yuns podcast.
Thank you, man. It was a pleasure.
That's going to do it for this week's program. Special thanks go to my guests, Philippe Luzinski and Gustavo Rosenthal. Felguk is on tour in the States now. They hit Avalon in Hollywood tonight, San Francisco tomorrow night, then Dallas, New Orleans, and Miami at the end of the month for Ultra Music Festival. Their remix of Dirty South and Thomas Gold's Eyes Wide Open is out today. Today's sponsor was Buku Music and Art Project, and today is your last chance to enter to win a pair of VIP tickets. Details at theyuns.com/contests. Please visit theyuns.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review, tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the program, you'd like to be a guest on the Yuns podcast, or you'd like to sponsor an episode, contact me at anand@theyuns.com. That's anand@theyuns.com. Join the conversation at the Yuns podcast on Twitter. We'll catch you next week.